Well, here's what Jesus says. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, Jesus touches one of the deepest parts of, I'm sure, all our lives. Some of us, as we were thinking a moment ago, some of us are just absolutely black belt, third dan, grade A professional worriers. We could do it for Britain and win at any Olympic or Commonwealth Games. I'm hesitant to say Britain since, of course, next September it might not be quite Britain that we can talk about. But anyway, and some of us might worry about that as well. We just fasten on things to worry about. And if we can't think of anything to worry about, we begin to worry that there's nothing to worry about because then something is going to go wrong. You know, we just assume that it will. And so we start to worry about what it will be that will go wrong, and then we fixate on the kids or the plumbing or something like that, and we start worrying about that. Some of us are not such good sleepers. Some of us can sleep through an earthquake and not be aware of what's happening, and probably carry on snoring, much to everybody else's distress as well. But some of us aren't brilliant sleepers, and we sleep quite lightly, and we do find ourselves waking up in the middle of the night, maybe several times, or in just the very early hours of the morning when it's just too late to get back to sleep again. And we just start thinking about something, or we wake up thinking about it, and we're aware that we're just feeling a bit hot, and just this thing is going through our minds. And the more we think about it, the worse it gets, because, of course, in the night, anything we're worrying about seems absolutely humongous and insoluble. Some of us mistake worrying about something for being responsible, so that worry becomes justified because, well, we say if we weren't worrying about it, we wouldn't be responsible. We ought to be worrying about this. But Jesus is pointing out a difference between worrying about something and being concerned about something. Jesus isn't saying, hey, nothing matters. And Jesus isn't saying, don't think about anything. He's talking about this fretting care, either by day or by night. He's talking about this thing that makes us, as he talks about in verse 32, when he's talking about the pagans, we'll come to that in a moment or two, run after all these things. So we spend our lives, our waking moments, and often our sleeping moments, mentally, physically, emotionally, fretting and running after stuff. It's a restlessness that Jesus is speaking about here that keeps us chasing from one thing to another. And quite clearly, Jesus isn't saying, hey, nothing matters, because what he talks about with the worrying that people do are the things that do matter. What we eat and drink and what we wear. And clearly those things are important. And clearly he's speaking to people who will have family responsibilities In the huge crowd that was now gathering, hearing Jesus, he'd started out with just the disciples, and more people attracting, so that by the end of the Sermon on the Mount, there's a huge, huge crowd there. You know, there'll be people there with children, or with aging parents, people who are part of communities. So he's not saying, hey, nothing matters. He's not saying, don't care. He's not saying, be irresponsible and selfish and thoughtless. He's not saying, be some kind of feel-gype, as would be said around these parts, who goes around with his head in the clouds and just, here's another word coming up, glake it. I'm sure it says glake it somewhere there. But he's talking about the worrying. And what he's putting his finger on is what the worrying reveals about our relationship with God. He's not saying that these things don't matter at all. Of course they do. In fact, it's because they do that he points to the thing about God. So what is it about the relationship with God that he's talking about? Well, first of all, he's talking about who God is. And he talks about God as our Heavenly Father, his Father as well, our Father, if we believe in Jesus. And the Father that he's talking about is all the way through the Bible, and very particularly in what Jesus says, the Father who cares. The Father who cares. Now, we might have a problem with the term Father being used to describe God. But we need just to sort of not shy away from it for that reason. We have, you know, as many earthly copies around as there are people who have been born in the world. Yeah, everybody's got one, a father, and many of us are at one. And what Jesus isn't saying is, you know, take everything you know about your dad or yourself as a dad and project it onto God and he's like that. Not at all. It doesn't go from us up to God. It's entirely the way around. God's the original. We are copies. We are versions of. Now, I don't know if you've ever operated a photocopier. One of the things that goes wrong in life is photocopiers. And they start putting streaks on things, or they crumple it all up and jam the paper and turn it into that sort of red-hot concertina thing. Or they smudge stuff, or it gets blurred, or you ask for it double-sided and it doesn't come out quite like that, or whatever. Yeah, any photocopy, however good, is only a photocopy. It's even more so with our humanity. Our own sin crumples up the copy. Our sin and the sin around us in the world just leaves streaks and marks and stuff all over it. Text gets distorted. So we don't go from ourselves as fathers or our own fathers onto God. We do the other way and say, look at the original. And the original, our Heavenly Father, is not only perfectly knowledgeable and understanding, but he really cares, and he is the provider. So in order to get the point home about the Father being a provider, he just gets people to look around them. Now, these are folk who live out in the countryside, and you know, in small towns, villages, that kind of thing. They live off the land. So when he says, look at the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and your Heavenly Father feeds them, people have the pictures of that in their minds, the experience of it. He says, it's your Heavenly Father feeding them. It's not just cause and effect. It's not just sort of some grand, you know, process, impersonal process. Your Heavenly Father is feeding them. If he feeds them, and you're much more valuable than they are, won't he feed you? In fact, isn't he feeding you? Now, in a few minutes, it'll seem like hours, but in a few minutes I'll shut up. And there's soup there, and there are sandwiches, and tea and coffee and all that. Well, that's here because every Tuesday we have alternating teams of folk who work away in the kitchen in the morning and get it all ready, and here it comes. And it's tasty and nutritious. And it's there. And please do feel free to help yourself afterwards. But who made the people who made the soup? And who made the ingredients for the soup and the sandwiches? And who made the people who put it into our supermarkets? And who made the people who designed supermarkets? And who made those clever people who made these soup pots? You see, you can't get anything without it having come from, well, who? Just there? No, says Jesus, your heavenly Father has provided everything for you. And then he uses another example to show that God is the provider. It's not he might become the provider, but he is the provider. And so he says, look, you know, why do you worry about clothes? That's a good one. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. What do we worry about? Clothes. We worry about the condition or our style or whatever. Or sometimes we worry about actually having any clothes. But it's, you know, a million housewives every day open the wardrobe door and say, I haven't a thing to wear. Blokes do the same thing, by the way. That doesn't stop us putting things on that don't match, don't go together, and are an absolute fashion disaster. But anyway. Look, he says, see how the flowers of the field grow, or consider the lilies. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. And again, there's a sort of comparison. You know, birds of the air, you're worth more than them. Grass, flowers, here today, gone tomorrow, you're eternal. How much more will he not clothe you? That is to say, the person of God, our Father who provides for us, is the first piece in the jigsaw that paints a more worry-free life. Second is the relationship with the Father. Now notice what Jesus says. If we go to verse 33, towards the end there, just near the bottom. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, if God is not in the right place in your life, then of course you're going to worry. But if this God is in the right place in your life, then you won't worry. And you won't worry because you know who he is. You know what he thinks of your life. You know what he can do in your life. You're trusting him, but you're also honoring him by putting him first. So the worry-free life doesn't happen just like that because we do some sort of, you know, neat trick with our minds. The worry-free life comes from resting your whole life on God and putting him first. How does that work? How does that work? If I am the central priority in my own life, then I have enough raw material to spend the rest of my life worrying. If God is the first priority in my life, if I'm more concerned with him and his kingdom and his righteousness, that is, his sovereignty, his kingship being known on earth and me following it, and if I'm more concerned with his righteousness, that is, his goodness and purity and holiness being not only responded to but known by more and more people, that is, if God and him being known and me following him is first in my life, then I am immediately taken out of myself. I've got a priority in life that is bigger than me. And the person who is that bigger priority takes care of me anyway. You see, this not worrying thing, because this God is in the right place in your life, it works, and it works because we stop becoming the sun in the middle of a solar system, and God is. So instead of life revolving around me, which is going to give anybody enough to worry about, isn't it? Life revolves around God, who provides. So you see, we are taken out of ourselves, but that isn't just some psychological trick. It isn't just some sort of, you know, psychobabble that's coming out here. This is God becoming the first priority in my life, and this God provides. So I rest in him. Now, this isn't something simply to read the past with. This is something to take into this afternoon. What is there that you're up against? What is there that you would be worrying about? If we were to take a straw poll, we're not going to do it, but if we were to do a sort of quick hands-up thing, we would be looking at money, which is probably the number one worry in the UK. Money. Do I have enough? How am I going to pay off the debts? How am I going to make the payments this month? Whether it's a mortgage, or whether it's the bank loan, or whether it's the credit card bills, or whatever. Money is the number one nagging worry in the UK. And I guess many of us know what it's like to wake up in the middle of the night thinking, how on earth am I going to make the payments this week? On whatever it is. Health. Ours, or the health of somebody who's very close to us. Our children. We worry about our kids. Mums worry about the kids. In fact, it seems like one of the defining things about motherhood. But it doesn't need to be. So take those things. Work. The people at work. The deadlines at work. The stability of work. The security and tenure of your job and everything that goes with it. Jesus is saying, don't worry. And he's saying it about the future. Your heavenly Father already knows what you need. Your heavenly Father knows what money you need. He knows your health issues. He knows about your kids. He knows about your work. And if it's some remote, distant thing called God, okay, you'll let yourself worry. But he isn't. He's your heavenly Father. And if he's first in your life, you can rest about those things. He knows what you need, and he will provide. How do I know he'll provide? You trust him. How can I know I trust him? You look at the birds. Do they eat? Yes, they do. You look at the flowers. Do they bloom? Yes, they do. That's why you needn't worry. He's already doing all that. That's your evidence. We don't know how the things that we need will be provided, do we? Like you, I've started a week wondering how on earth the things that are needed for that week will ever arrive. Sometimes it's been absolutely last minute. But God has always, always pulled through. And he hasn't always pulled through in the way that I thought he would, or by the means that I had mapped out in my head. And he hasn't always pulled through with the things that I have been trying to make the thing happen and make the provision happen. But here I am, 28 years old, you know. And I am wearing clothes. Been wearing this suit long enough. And it was in the sale, you know, a while ago. But I'm all right, you don't need to buy me another. And I have eaten too much recently. And you're here as well. And you've eaten, and you're about to eat. And thankfully, you're all clothed. You know? So trust him. Just trust him. And he will pull through. Let's pray.